morning, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews is that great chapter of God's Hall of Fame. I guess you could call it God's Hall of Faith. These that are listed here are those that are given to us as examples that we can do mighty things because of the Lord. We have this week just gone through the remembrance of 70 years ago of D-Day, and I'm sorry I do not know as much about that as I should. I listened to some documentaries this week, and very moving of those, most of them teenagers. That stormed the banks of Normandy and lost thousands and thousands of lives. And I began to think about, there's nothing too much said about them. There's nothing on a tombstone. There's no epitaph, but there is a memory. And this morning, I want us to read about a man that doesn't have an epitaph. He doesn't have a tombstone, but thank God there is a memory. And it's in verse number 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then the next verse says it's impossible without faith to please God. So it tells us there that Enoch was a man that was a man of faith. I don't know about you, but I enjoy sometimes just going around to old cemeteries and reading some of the things that are left behind of memories of different folks that have gone on. Some are sort of strange, but some are very telling about the life or the history of that particular person. That word epitaph just simply means something that is said, something that is read about a person that has passed away, or especially if it's left on a tombstone. And you take some time, especially when you see those old tombstones, more there than in the modern time. In days gone by, they would leave something about that individual, something about their life. And when someone would visit that graveside, they would know some little something about that individual person. That's called an epitaph. Well, the Scripture gives us here, I guess, the greatest epitaph that could be, even though it's not written upon a tombstone, even though it's not in a cemetery, because Enoch didn't go to a cemetery. Enoch didn't go to have, and he doesn't have a gravestone, because the Bible says God took him. God translated him. And the Scripture says that he was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found. That's a wonderful picture of the rapture that is ahead of us as a child of God. God will take us, and we will not be found. We may be searched for, we may be looked for. Others may look for us, but we'll not be found when the Lord calls us home to be with Him. And Enoch is a perfect picture of the rapture of the child of God. For God will translate us, we will not see death, and we will not be found because God has translated us, or God has raptured us out of here. And that verse goes on and says, before his translation, he had this testimony. Before he died, before he left this world, before God took him, he had a testimony. And I believe every one of us this morning, as a child of God, before God takes us, whether it be by the avenue of death or whether it be by the avenue of rapture, we should have a testimony that we love the Lord and that we please God. And so Enoch is an inspiration. He's not talked about a whole lot in the Scripture, but when he is given and the words are given about him, we find that they're very good things about this man called Enoch. He had a testimony. He had a good testimony. We as a child of God should have a good testimony. A testimony is what people think about us. Now, our reputation, testimony, what people think about us, our character is what we really are. And sometimes those two don't match. Sometimes they're not the same. But we as a child of God should have a testimony of salvation, a testimony of life during this time that God has given us, that we love the Lord. And I asked my question to myself. I asked the question to all of us. What is our testimony? What is it that people will think about us? Or what will they say about us when they read in the paper or they hear in the news that so-and-so has passed away and they read that obituary column there in the newspaper? What will they say when they read that so-and-so has passed away? Well, there'll be one of two things. We'll have a bad testimony or we'll have a good testimony. We'll have something that pleases the Lord or we'll have something that is said that is maybe even demeaning of the Lord. Some people do have a bad testimony. They have a reputation for being just ungodly and have a reputation. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1 verse 12, some have a reputation of being liars. It says of one of themselves, even a prophet of their own said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. That wasn't a very good testimony about that group of people. They were liars. They were people that were like evil beasts, and they were lazy, and they were not willing to do what needed to be done. They had that testimony of being brawlers and angry and given to strife, and Christians certainly should not have that kind of testimony. There are some that have a testimony of being lazy, some being lustful, uncontrollable in their life, and that's just what's left behind us that people remember. But Enoch, maybe, he didn't have an epitaph on his tombstone because he didn't have a tombstone. Nevertheless, he did have a good testimony. And that is something we ought to desire as a child of God. As I listened this week to all the reports and some of the things and some of the documentaries that were given, especially on History Channel, had some very good things there on that. I thought about those young men as they got off of those amphibious vessels, and they got into the water, and they headed toward the beach, and they showed how many were killed, and how much was blood was shed, and how many of the paratroopers came down, and some of them still living gave testimony of what took place that day. Those folks, some of them were never shipped back, never came back to America. They never had that as a gravesite. Oh, there may be a marker there, and there may be a tombstone there, but those bodies were there for a number of days. And we think about that those people maybe don't have something written in stone, but thank God there's a memory of what they did for us and how they protected this country. And that generation of young people that were called to serve their country, I believe, really are the reason that we are here this morning, able to worship the Lord and able to have a country such as ours, because they were willing to give the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate gift of their life to save this country from going down to defeat. And it took thousands and thousands of young men to get that done. And I'm glad they have a good testimony to that part. On the other side, talking about Enoch and his testimony, the things that the Scriptures say about him is very important to you and I as a child of God. The Bible says here in our text verse, in the last few words of that verse says, he pleased God. That was his testimony. He pleased the Lord. He loved God. And the Scripture is not going to say these things frivolously, because the Scripture gives us a detailed account of many, many things that take place. And the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail about Enoch's life, but it does tell us that he pleased God. So that means he loved the Lord. That means he was willing to do. That means he was willing to do what had to be done in order to get his job accomplished and get his task done. And he loved the Lord. He pleased God. He learned how to please the Lord. The Bible says here that that God had translated him before. For before his translation, he had this testimony. You and I this morning, as a child of God, we ought to have that testimony before God gets us out of this world. Now, we're going to leave here one way or the other. Now, some people live like they're going to live forever, but we're all going to live here for a while, and then we're all going to leave here in just a little while. It'll either be by the process of dying that comes to our body, the death maybe by an accident or something that takes place that snatches us away from our family and our friends. But we're going to leave that way, or we're going to leave the other way as a child of God when Jesus comes and receives us unto Himself. So he learned to please the Lord. As a believer, as a child of God this morning, we have to learn some things out of the Word of God, how that we can serve God, how that we can please the Lord, how that we can honor God. The book of James that we began studying this morning in our Sunday school gives you some very, very practical teachings and very practical lessons on how that we can live for God in this world in which we live, and how that we can honor the Lord. And so Enoch, he loved the Lord, and he pleased the Lord, and he lived to please his God. The Bible says before he died, or before he was translated, he had this testimony, he pleased God. And so he lived to please the Lord. It means he had a purpose in life. So sad today when there's so many people that we meet on the streets and on the highways, and we meet in the Walmarts and the different places that we have, and they have no purpose at all in life. They really don't know why they're here. They really don't know where they came from, and they certainly don't understand where they're going. And they have no purpose, and they're just drifting along and going with the flow. And if their crowd does wickedness, then they do wickedness. If their crowd backs off of it a while, they back off of it a while. They're just to and fro, tossed about by every wind that comes their way. And that's not purpose. That's not living. Well, I believe Enoch hadn't purpose in his life. I know he had practice in his life because he had a testimony. Those of his neighbors, his friends, those that were around him, those that knew him, knew that he loved God, knew that he lived for the Lord because he had that testimony, because he had that life in his particular time frame. And so he became, he had purpose, he had practice, and I thank the Lord that he had pleasure one day going to meet the Lord without having to die. What a wonderful testimony that it gives to us concerning this man named Enoch. So here in God's hall of faith, he gives us this man. He just one verse, maybe two verses about him. I believe really verse number 6 is also about Enoch, because it tells us that he had a testimony that he pleased God. And then the very next verse says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So that verse is connected to verse 5. Enoch had faith, and without faith, he couldn't please God. And you know what? This morning, without faith, you and I, we're not going to please God. If we don't have faith, if we don't exercise faith in our life, then we will not please the Lord. And so we find that here, just in these two verses, God puts him in a special place. Now, there's a lot of other people in the Scripture that had faith. There's a lot of other people in Scripture that practiced their faith. But Enoch is picked out here because he had the testimony, and God translated him. God took him. And so the Bible tells us that he pleased the Lord. Not only did he do that, the other place, and one other place that's spoken of in the Scripture about Enoch is found in the little book of Jude. So if you would turn over there for just a moment. In the book of Jude, there's only one chapter. And if you'll look at verse number 14, you'll find that this man Enoch, he was a prophet. When I was a young guy, I was trying to figure out who was the first prophet in the Bible. I searched and looked, and I finally got desperate, and I asked one of the older preachers that I knew. I said, "Who was the first prophet in the Word of God?" And he took me to this verse here, that very well maybe is correct. And verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Now here you have Adam and seven generations, the seventh from Adam, he's prophesying something about the Lord. So not only did he please the Lord, but he prophesied concerning the Lord, and he knew much more than a lot of people do even in this day in which we live. Notice his prophecy. Verse number 14, Jude. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. The prophecy that Enoch was known for was that he believed in the coming of the Lord. He is coming with 10,000s of His saints. You and I this morning, we use that same terminology that Enoch used because we believe He's coming. And we believe He's coming with thousands and tens of thousands of His saints. And He's coming for us one day, but thank God, one day He's coming with us. And Enoch prophesied of that day, and just the seventh generation from Adam, he's prophesying something that has yet not happened. He has not come yet with 10,000 of His saints. And so Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he prophesied, Behold, the Lord cometh. He preached in the personal return of His Lord. He preached the personal Lord coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. And we realize the Scripture gives us many, many details concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Enoch realized that the Lord, his Lord, one day was going to come. And he prophesied of those things. The word Maranatha means the Lord cometh. Behold, the Lord cometh. I'm glad this morning that I can believe and preach and look forward to that day when the Lord cometh. We can preach a Maranatha gospel. We can preach the Lord cometh message. That He is coming one day, even though the skeptics make fun, and even though they ridicule the old-fashioned way and the old-fashioned belief in a Lord and in a God, and that He's coming again, and they do away with all the miraculous things concerning our Lord. It doesn't matter what they say, but this book says, Behold, the Lord cometh. And praise the Lord, He prophesied of the coming of the Lord. He preached in a powerful return of His Lord. He's coming in glory to the earth to establish His kingdom. We think of today, the city of Jerusalem, one of the oldest cities in our world. It has been tossed to and fro and is still in the midst of turmoil even in this day. And we have a promise in God's Word that Jerusalem is the city of God. And that is the city that is the place of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus one day will come and He'll sit right there on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, and He'll proclaim Himself. We have generations today that they don't have any idea what the Lord is doing. We have a government today that is pushing us farther and farther away from the goodness of Israel and the presence of Israel, and you can be assured that as that takes place and as that happens, there will be more turmoil and more trials in this country, because it is God that has promised those that will be friends to Israel will be blessed of God. Those that are enemies will be cursed of God. And so we find that Enoch, he prophesied the coming of the Lord. I'm glad when the Lord comes, we'll be translated just like Enoch was, and we'll be put into the very presence of the Lord Christ coming in glory. The Scripture says here that Enoch understood some things about the coming of the Lord. It was just not going to be a joyous time, and it's not just going to be a fun time for you and I and a blessed time for you and I, which it will be, but the coming of the Lord involves more than us going. It involves to execute judgment, the next verse says. And here we find that Enoch prophesied the coming of the Lord, not only to establish us with Him, but also to take vengeance against those that deny God. You see, our God is a not only loving God, but He's a God of wrath and a God of vengeance. He says, Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. You can be rest assured that He will repay according to what is just and righteous. So Enoch, the scripture says, even though it doesn't have a, you can't visit the tomb of Enoch. You can't read about Enoch other than in the scripture. It not only did he love the Lord, but he prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He praised the Lord. Now the Bible in verse number 15 tells us that Enoch preached against sin. So the scripture has a lot to tell us about this man, Enoch. Notice what it says in verse 15 of Jude. That he's coming with 10,000 of his saints, and that's not a period there, that's a comma. And it goes on and says, to execute judgment. And that's what he's going to do. The Lord's coming with 10,000 of his saints, and in that coming, and as we come with him, he's going to bring about judgment upon a world that despised and denied the Son of God. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all, notice here the group that he deals with, all that are ungodly. That's the crowd. He's going to execute judgment upon those that are ungodly. Now these are Enoch's words, inspired of the God of heaven. These are words that are given to us in the little book of Jude, the brother of James. And we find that Jude says here that Enoch had this message that he prophesied. He said, the Lord's coming with His saints, and when He comes, He's going to execute judgment upon the ungodly. And you and I, we can rest assured this morning, when He comes, execution of judgment will take place. From Revelation chapter 4 on, that's the execution of judgment. Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 are give you some things that have been in the past, some things that was in the present when John wrote that. But then in John chapter 4, verse 1, they hear the call that says, come up hither. And from chapter 4, verse 1 on, is God executing judgment upon the ungodly. Now, primarily, it's the ungodly Jew that God is judging, because they had every opportunity. They had every message. They had the Word of God. They had the Son of God. And they rejected all of that. And because of that, they became ungodly. And they are ungodly. And most of them do not know the Lord. Most of them hate the name of Jesus Christ. And when God comes, when Jesus comes with us, He's going to execute judgment upon the ungodly Jew. But He's also going to execute judgment upon the ungodly Gentile. That Gentile system that has abused and misused the child of God and has misused the works of the Lord. And so Jude says here that Enoch prophesied that the Lord's coming. When He comes, He's going to execute judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly, among them all their ungodly deeds. It ought not to shock us this morning that the ungodly do ungodly things. It does. I'm amazed at what takes place in our world. I'm amazed at what takes place in our country. But the ungodly can only do ungodly things. They can't do righteous things. They don't have the ability to do righteous things. The unbeliever has not even the ability to understand the Word of God. And so therefore they deny it and they reject it and they make fun of it and they mock it. And they tear it apart and they abuse it. They're ungodly, so they do ungodly things. And Enoch says here that, or Jude rather, says that Enoch prophesied that the Lord's going to come, and when He comes, He's going to bring judgment upon those ungodly people that do those ungodly deeds. The judgment of God will fall. And the next part of that verse says, those ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Here's three times the word ungodly is used. It's those that are ungodly. They are ungodly deeds and they commit ungodly deeds. And then it says, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken. Doesn't stop there. Spoken against who? Him. Enoch prophesied, the Lord's coming. He's the sixth from Adam.
But he's prophesying that the Lord is coming, and when he comes, he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints. And when he comes, he's going to execute judgment upon those that are ungodly, that do ungodly things, they commit ungodly deeds, and those sinners have committed and spoke ungodly deeds and words against him. Who? Against the Lord. I wouldn't want to be in that crowd today that mock and make fun. I wouldn't want to be in that crowd today that are deniers and haters and abusers of the things of the Lord. I wouldn't want to be there because one day God is going to judge them for their ungodliness. So our God, thank the Lord, He's a God of love, and I'm so glad He loved me. I'm so glad He offered unto me the opportunity to be saved and to be born again and to be a child of God and shown, pour out His love and His mercy upon us. Praise the Lord this morning for the love of the Lord. But on the other side of that, that gospel that has been preached and has been abused and has been forgotten and has no longer had any effect upon people, God says He's going to bring judgment upon the ungodly. And this man that has not an epitaph or a tombstone, he says, thousands of years before the Lord comes, He's coming. That gives me encouragement this morning that I can keep preaching that Jesus is coming. And he preached it thousands of years before the Lord ever came the first time. Before the Messiah was ever laid in a manger. Enoch was preaching that the Lord's coming with His saints. So Enoch maybe didn't see all the in-between, but he had enough spiritual understanding, he had enough knowledge, and he walked with God so close that he realized that one day God was going to bring judgment upon the ungodly world. People that hate God. Let me put it a little bit different. It's not just people that hate God that are ungodly. It's not just those that are openly known wicked sinners that are ungodly. The Bible is very clear to tell us that the ungodly are those that are not saved. Now, I know some quote-unquote pretty good unsaved people. I know some folks that I can talk to, I can deal with, and they make no pretense at all of being a Christian. They make no comment. They have no comment. They're not a Christian. We've had people work out here on this property that when you ask them, they say, no, I'm not a Christian. I had one man say that. He said, I believe men are just like dogs. When we die, we're gone. Sorry to say, he'll find out different one day. Very honest man, a very good, hard-working man. But you know what the Bible classifies him as? Ungodly. He maybe hasn't done those ungodly deeds that we think of and we categorize. But every deed of a lost person is an ungodly deed. He doesn't know the Lord. And so Enoch, he had the message that one day God's going to judge sin. He preached against sinful character. He preached against sinful conduct. Those ungodly deeds. He preached against ungodly conversation. Those hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. And against the way of God. It's amazing to me. It's almost mind-boggling to me how much we hear that is so accepted, that is so anti-God. I had on a program last night. I just turned the thing off. And it was just a talk program. But they're hard speeches. Their words. Their attitudes. Had no reverence for anything. Talking about acceptance of drugs and acceptance of alcohol and just having a good time. And I just turned the thing off. I don't need to hear that. But you know what? One day my Lord's coming. One of these days our Lord is coming. And He's going to execute judgment upon those that have hard speeches against Him. And thousands of years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God. He pleased the Lord, and he pleased the Lord in his preaching and his prophesying. He told us he's coming. He told us that he's going to come one day, and he's coming with his saints. And then lastly, he practiced what he preached. For the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." He not only talked about God, he walked with God. He not only had some messages to say, he not only had some words to say about our Lord, but he walked with God. His daily action, his daily way, and that's why he had a testimony. He didn't necessarily have a testimony with God. He had a testimony of those around him that he loved God. Now, the testimony that they knew is a testimony that God knew. But his testimony is what the world around him knew about him. And they heard him preach, and they heard him prophesy, and they saw him walk, and they saw him serve God. And one day, all of a sudden, he was gone. God took him. And that's the way we're going to leave here one day. May we leave that kind of testimony. He was acquainted. In order to have a good testimony, you've got to be acquainted with God's Son. You've got to be acquainted with God's person. He was aware, and we should be aware of the path that God has for us, and in agreement with the purpose of the Lord. So the Scripture says that in Hebrews, it says that Enoch walked with God. God took him. God translated him. God removed him. Genesis says that he walked with God. And as he was walking with God, God just took him. Can you imagine how it was? I've tried to picture in my mind walking with the Lord. I'm afraid I don't do enough of that. But here Enoch is. He's walking his daily walk with God, and he's serving the Lord. He's preaching the message. He's prophesying the judgment of God. He's doing all the things that God tells him to do. And as he walks with God, he just walks on into glory. What a way to go. What a way. Now he does not have a tombstone. He does not have an epitaph. We have his testimony written in the infallible Word of God that he pleased God. I'd rather have that as a stone. I'd rather have that as something written on a tombstone. There's a grave of so-and-so, and he walked with God. I'd rather have it in the Word of God. And so the Scripture tells us in these three places about the life of this man called Enoch. Walked with God, served the Lord. And there he is listed. Well, he's listed with great people. He's listed alongside of Noah and Abraham and Sarah. He's listed with Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Joshua. Pretty good name calling, if you want to call names. Had a pretty good crowd. And verse 32, this is my favorite part of chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe was the Apostle Paul, he says, "And what shall I more say?" He's listed all these great heroes of the faith. And he says, "What more shall I say?" He says, "Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and Samuel." Then he goes on and says, "Those who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." We know who that was. That'd be with Daniel. "Quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong." Verse 36, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and were slain. With the sword they wandered around in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy.
Paul says the world wasn't worthy of these people. They did not accept these folks. They rejected them, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and the caves of the earth. That's our forefathers. They had a testimony. We are more than traitors if we don't live up to their testimony. We're hearing much today about AWOL, leaving your post, being a traitor. But I'll tell you what, it's far, far more dangerous for the child of God to be a traitor than it is for an American to be. As wicked and wrong as that is, it's doubly so, multiple times more so, for a child of God not to live up to the people that's come before us. Enoch walked with God. Do we walk with Him? Do we serve Him? One of these days as we walk with the Lord, preaching our message, singing our songs, as we travel this life and this time of life, and we're just walking with God, one of these days, praise the Lord, we're not going to be here. For God took me. God will take us. And the Bible says, for He was not. That really means he was not found. They searched and they looked. Where's Enoch? Where's his preaching? Where is he at now? Where's Enoch? He's not here. Well, he had testimony. They loved God. He walked with God. God took him. May God help us to have that same testimony of life. And when we walk our pathway, and one of these days, whether it be by death or whether it be by rapture, God will take us. And may we have a great epitaph left behind that we please God, serving Him, living for Him. Let's stand together this morning. What will you leave behind when you leave this world?